I hope you have your Bible open to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be there this morning. I've been reading through 1 Peter just on my own, and I saw this the other day, and I thought, you know, this is something that's really good that needs to be taught. We need to hear it here. And I titled the lesson, Eight Elements of Righteousness, the Righteousness of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I hope your hearts are in tune as we talk about the elements of God's righteousness. When we talk about the righteousness of God, there's two ways we can approach this, or there's two ways we need to approach it. First off, we need to see God's righteousness that's given to us. When you heard the gospel for the first time, and you saw the death of Jesus as your substitute, you put your faith in Christ Jesus, committing your life to Him, being immersed into His name. God counted you at that moment 100% righteous. The righteousness of God was imputed to you. And so from that moment, everything that you aren't, Jesus is for you. You and I aren't righteous on our own. Jesus is 100%. You and I aren't forgiven on our own, but Jesus is the source. And so now God counts us absolutely 100% righteous because of Christ. As a result of that, that should mean something to us in our lives, that you and I, how we live, how we go about things, it should affect us deeply. And that's going to be where we bring in the righteousness of God that we practice. I want two questions answered this morning. The first question we're going to answer is, what is the value of practicing the righteousness of God? And question number two, what does the righteousness of God involve? And that's what we're going to see. First thing we want to answer is, what is the value? What is the value of doing what is right in the sight of God? I want you to begin here in 1 Peter 3. I want to begin in verse 12, if you would look with me. The value of doing what is right in God's eyes. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What's the value of the righteousness of God in you practicing it? He says the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. You know what? You can be assured that God sees everything you do. Every difficulty that you encounter. Every pain that you have in your life that life throws at you. The eyes of the Lord are toward them, and He notices you. He says, and the ears, His ears, attend to their prayers. You know what? He doesn't say His ears hear their prayers. Did you notice that? He said He attends. You pray, and God not only hears it, He will respond to your prayer. You know what the value of the righteousness of God is? Right there. He's watching over my life, and He's attending to my every prayer. But look at the end of verse 12. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And you know who the evildoers are? those who do not practice the righteousness of God. They're evildoers, and God sets His face against those. Well, knowing that, hold this for just a second and come over to 1 John. It's just two books to your right. 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 10, and John kind of brings this out about the value of doing what is right. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, he says, "By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." Is it obvious who the children of God are? Is it obvious who the children of the devil are? Doesn't John say it's obvious? Well, how do you know who the people of God are? What is really obvious about it? Well, the ones who practice righteousness, and we're talking about God's righteousness, they're the ones of God. The ones who do not practice the righteousness of God, they're children of the devil. And he goes on to say, and the one who does not love his brother, they're children of the devil too. Now, we're not taking that one in this morning. We're talking about the righteousness of God. We're talking about things that are obvious. And it's obvious who the children of God are. And who are they? They practice the righteousness of God. You know what the value is of doing the righteousness of God? He sees you, He attends to your prayers, and you are claimed as His child. But come back to 1 Peter chapter 3. If practicing God's righteousness means that much, what does the righteousness of God look like? There are eight elements that he gives us. He says, for the church, there are eight things that are involved in the righteousness of God. It's more than just doing right. There are a lot of people on this earth that do good, but they don't practice the righteousness of God. They're still children of the devil. The doing of good is not the sign. These eight elements are involved in God's righteousness. Look back at verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. What's the first element of the righteousness of God? He says in verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious. When we talk about being harmonious, we're talking about people, brothers and sisters, that are like-minded. That's what it means to be harmonious. We're after the same things. We're after the same quests that God has put us on. And so our minds must center completely on Jesus. That's being harmonious. When we talk about being harmonious, we're talking about our interests are Christ's interests. We're looking after what He wants us to be like. And within the body of Christ, we need to practice things that build harmony within the church. We need to be practicing things that make us blend together. You can't be a rebel. You can't just strike out on your own and think that you're practicing the righteousness of God. The first element, the righteousness of God, is that you need to blend. You need to be harmonious. You need to be like-minded in everything that we do. The opposite is people that are self-willed. And there's one thing that seems to happen with people that are self-willed. They like to complain. They like to complain, and they complain that things aren't done the way they think it ought to be done. Excuse me. You and I can see that whenever we start doing things that we want it done our way, there's not going to be a lot of blending. There's not going to be a lot of harmony in that. And so it begins to cause disturbances. That's not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is first harmonious. How many times did Jesus have to rebuke his disciples for the lack of harmony? I mean, they were walking along the road one time, and you know what they were discussing among them? Which one of them was the greatest in the eyes of the Lord? Jesus told them to knock that stuff off. That's not blending. That's not harmony. There was another time that part of them were indignant toward the others. Jesus told them, you have to knock that stuff off. There were other times when the disciples would just strike out on their own and they were going to do it their way. And Jesus had to tell them, knock that stuff off. Because that's not my way. That's not part of the righteousness of God. That's not part of God. The first element to God's righteousness, the first element to a child of God, harmonious. Second element, he said, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic. Sympathetic literally means to suffer with others. It's not feeling sorry for people. You know, a lot of times we feel sorry for people because they may be down and out or they're going through difficulties. But when you're sympathetic, you feel for them, you feel toward them, and that you have a genuine concern for what they're going through. That's what a person of sympathy, you know, that's what they do. They identify with them. I mean, isn't that what Paul said in Romans 12:15, that you rejoice with those who rejoice and you weep with those who weep? That's people who are sympathetic. You know, we look back on this last year, we've had a lot of people here that have been stricken with some severe sicknesses. And we need to be sympathetic. We need to suffer with them. And we did. We've had people who've passed away. We've suffered with them. But you know what? This is part of one of the elements of the righteousness of God. Learning to be sympathetic for your brothers and sisters and have a genuine concern what they're going through. Third element. All of you be harmonious, sympathetic. Number three, brotherly. Well, we get our Greek word Philadelphia. That's the Greek word for it. It means that we're part of the same family. And sometimes in Christ Jesus, I don't understand why we don't feel like that we're part of the same family. We've been born of God. Christ Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We're part of the family of God, and we need to treat one another as we are brotherly. We need to have that. Look back at chapter 1 while we're here. Look at verse 22 of 1 Peter. Chapter 1, 22. He says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. That's the same word as we're talking about in chapter 3. A sincere love for the brethren. That's the Philadelphia. The brotherly love that we're to have for one another. And what brought it about? Obedience to the truth. I apologize. Fervently love one another from the heart. We need to be brotherly because we are of the same family. The children of the devil aren't brotherly. Children of the devil aren't sympathetic. Children of the devil aren't harmonious. They don't care about the righteousness of God. These are the elements of God's righteousness. Be brotherly. Come back to, come back to 1 Peter 3. Look at verse 8. Look at the fourth element. He says, after brotherly, kind-hearted. Some versions may have the idea or use the word compassionate. When we're talking about kind-hearted, it's the idea of tenderness. The idea of being tender-hearted. I've seen it over the years in the church. Someone has done something outwardly that's public. They've repented. But the one they offended will talk about that person wasn't sincere in their repentance. They're just making a show trying to get on everybody's good grace. That is a person that is not kind-hearted. First off, you don't know their motive. You don't know their intention. And so therefore, you and I need to make sure that we're kind-hearted to people, that we need to be tender toward people in areas of their life. Tender-heartedness is an element of the righteousness of God. You know, the opposite of that being tender-hearted is somebody that's harsh. Somebody that's critical. Somebody that's hard. That's not a kind-hearted person. Children of God are tender-hearted. Look at the fifth element at the end of verse 8. And humble in spirit. Now, we know humility is the ability where you can accept things, you know, when you're corrected, whenever you're taught. It's the idea of being laid low so you can be taught. But here the humility, he says, humble in spirit. It's this inner attitude that prevails from deep within you. And therefore, you're willing to not think about you and how everything affects you. You know, we live in a society that promotes number one. Got to be number one in everything. Well, I'll tell you, when you promote yourself as number one, guess where that puts everybody else? They're below you. You're sure not going to create a lot of harmony with that. You're sure not going to be kind-hearted through that. But when we talk about being humble in spirit, we're talking about a prevailing attitude within you that you look out for the needs of other people. That's the righteousness of God. Look at verse 9. Look at the sixth element. Not returning evil for evil. Now, how easy is it to return evil for evil? That's the most simple thing to do. It takes no effort for you and I to return evil to evil for someone. It takes no effort, and we easily can retaliate on people. But you know what the righteousness of God says? Don't you ever return evil for evil to another. You know, we all have feelings. Some of our feelings are stronger than others. But one of the feelings that we have toward people is that whenever we've been done wrong, we want to return that wrong on them. I mean, we get hot about it, we think about it, we stew about it. And all we just talk about how unjust this is, and this just isn't fair, and the next thing you know, you're thinking in terms of retaliation to put them in their place. That is the same demeanor of a child of the devil. Never return evil for evil. I don't want you to do that. He continues on in verse 9, not returning evil for evil, or insult for insult. Now, isn't it interesting? Returning evil for evil is an action on our part.
Now we don't return insult for insult. That's a usage of the tongue. It is never right to insult somebody that has insulted you. It's never right to be harsh and abusive. It's never right to strike back with smart-aleck comments. That's not right. And then when you back off and look just a little bit, and you look at Jesus on the cross, they insulted Him when He was on that cross. And never once did He retaliate. He could have, but He didn't. And so an element, the seventh element, He said, is that never return insult for insult. Quick thought. You ever notice in a situation when people are heated, you notice how words can make a situation escalate to a worse situation? All you got to do is just say one comment, one smart comment, one insulting comment, and now the situation has been escalated. The Lord said, I don't want you to do that. Don't you ever return insult for insult. And the eighth element is found in verse 9. Not returning evil for evil, insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Give a blessing. You know how you give a blessing? You speak well to the other. They don't deserve it. It's not a question they deserve it. It's a question of the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness of God. Give a blessing. And that's what you want to do. You want to speak well. And the reason He asks us to give a blessing in the heat of this moment, He says, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. You know what God wants to do to you, especially if you're being insulted, if you're being treated evil, if you're being hurt by others? God's eyes are upon the righteous. And His ears attend to their prayers. And here you are in the midst, and you can either make this thing crumble or you step forward and practice the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God says, then give them a blessing. Why? So God can give you a blessing in the place. You see, God wants to bless our lives. God's trying to bless our lives. And so you and I, how difficult are these things? They're not easy, but I want to tell you something. The righteousness of God involves every one of these elements. And the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious, because the children of God practice the righteousness of God. And these eight elements, church, involve that. Being in harmony with one another. You know, being sympathetic toward one another. Being brotherly. Treating each other like we belong to the Lord. Being kind-hearted. Being humble in spirit and not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. Give a blessing to people when they hurt you. And by the way, in every one of these elements, don't you see them in Jesus? The one whom we put our faith in to be our representative before God, that we depend on to cleanse us from every sin we've ever committed and brings us into the righteousness of God, that we are 100% righteous just as He is righteous. And Jesus said, I want you to practice my righteousness. He goes ahead, beginning in verse 10, and we're going to close here, 10, 11, 12. The Lord sounds a warning.
Look at verse 10. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You want to inherit a blessing? Then guess what? You want to have a good life? You want to have a love of life? You want to see good days? Here's a direct promise from God for people who will follow His righteousness. He said, then you keep your tongue from evil. You keep your lips from speaking deceit. Some versions say guile. Don't you use your tongue to get an advantage on people. That's what guile, deceit is. Sometimes we want to control everything around us, and we use our tongues to try to get people to come over to our side. He said, knock that off. You want to love life? You want to see good days? Then get control of your tongue. You end up giving blessings so you can inherit a blessing. He gives a second warning, verse 11. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Must. You got to turn away from evil things. That'll take you away from the righteousness of God. We must what? Seek peace and pursue it. I mean, in the middle of a dispute, how easy is it for that dispute to continue for years? You know what you better be seeking? You better be seeking peace. In fact, you better be pursuing peace. You better be pursuing peace in relationships, and you better be pursuing peace within the church. That comes back to being in harmony with one another. And here's why he says it. Verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And sometimes people in Jesus wonder, why can't I find peace of mind? Why does my life continue to be filled with such turmoil? Those verses right there tell you. Maybe it's because we aren't seeking the righteousness of God. Let me tell you this in closing. I cannot do one thing about any of you here. I can't do anything about any of you. I can't change your attitude. I can't give you faith. I can't do anything about you. You cannot do anything about me. But this I can do, and this you can do. I can do something about me. And you can do something about you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to practice the righteousness of God. Because it's obvious who the children of God are. Because they practice the righteousness of God and they love their brethren. And that's the telltale sign. And I want to encourage every one of us in here this morning. You need to pursue. When we talk about practicing righteousness, we're talking about God's righteousness. And here's eight elements to it. And you have to get back there, and whenever you start going off track, you go back and you read those and you find out, and you'll see, well, I'm really not doing that. I'm sure not giving a blessing. I'm sure not being harmonious. And you'll find where you abide, where you're living. Because children of the devil don't care. But children of God, they do care. Because they know what's at stake from God watching over them and attending to their prayers. I want you to know that. And I pray God's blessings on every one of us. If the Lord allows this new year to come about, I pray that we come within this new year with a greater commitment. I want you to look back at your past year, and I want to find out, you can find out, has the righteousness of God in my life increased this last year? And if it hasn't, I would be concerned. And if it has, thank God for His grace, and just you let Him keep drawing you forward. And rejoice in the name of the Lord.